Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. So shortly after Sarah and I got married, we bought our first car, and it was a new experience for us, shopping for a new car together. And after walking around the lot with the salesman, we zeroed in on the one. It was a light green Mazda 3. And while this was a used vehicle, the Mazda 3 was still fairly new on the market. And so we really hadn't seen that many Mazda 3s around town. And so we were excited about purchasing this rather unique vehicle. But not long after we purchased it, we began to realize that it really wasn't that unique after all. Because we began to see the Mazda 3 everywhere. We'd pull up to a stoplight, there was a Mazda 3 sitting across from us. Walking in a parking lot, look, it's another Mazda 3. And not only that, we began to see the exact same light green color Mazda 3 around town too. Has that ever happened to anyone? All right. So this is actually known as the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon. It's the phenomenon that occurs when something that you have recently seen or recently learned about, now you begin to see it everywhere. And many times we see this happen with cars. But here's the reality. It's not that these things weren't already there. It's just that we had never seen them before because we had never looked for them before. So we're in a series right now titled Dear Church. And as we're going through this series, we're looking at the seven letters written to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. And so far, we've seen Jesus point out some positive things within these churches, but we've also seen Jesus point out some problems within these churches. Now, it's not that these problems weren't already here, but these churches had maybe never seen these problems before because they had never looked for them before. And so these letters caused them to look and to take notice. So let me pause right here and say this. May God's word cause us to look and to take notice. Now, my desire is that we don't have any problems in our church. My prayer is that we don't have any underlying sins that need to be dealt with. But my desire is also that we as individuals and as a church would walk rightly before the Lord. And so if there are problems that need to be addressed, my prayer is that we would see those problems. So may God's word cause us to look and to take notice. The church in Sardis had a big problem that needed to be dealt with, a big problem that they needed to see. And so we're going to see Jesus address this problem in the fifth letter this morning. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 6 this morning, Revelation 3, 1 through 6. And as you're turning there, let me give you some background on the city of Sardis. So the city of Sardis, like Smyrna, was a wealthy city. It was was centered right at the some important trade routes, some important roads. And so it was a city of wealth, and it was known for its luxury. Unfortunately, all of this wealth, all of this luxury had led to the city to be a city living a life of debauchery. And so Sardis had a reputation for apathy and immorality. So to put this in our modern day context, think of the city of Las Vegas, right? If you think about all of the adult entertainment, all of the adult attractions, many have nicknamed Las Vegas to be Sin City, right? Sardis had a reputation for being Sin City. It's where people wanted to go if they wanted to indulge in the pleasures of this world and loose living. But all of this luxury, all of this wealth had given them a false sense of security. So the city of Sardis actually had large walls built around them, but the soldiers were so confident in the walls and they were confident in their wealth that they did not diligently keep watch. And this false sense of security made them soft and apathetic. And so because of this, the city of Sardis was actually
attacked and conquered not just once, but twice in history. So let me pause right here and say this. Apathy is opportunity for attack. Hear that again. Apathy is opportunity for attack. And when it comes to our faith, we have not been called to be soft. Rather, we have been called to be strong. We're to be strong in our faith. We are to be strong in our convictions. We are to be strong in the word that we might also be strong in this world. Now, strength does not mean that we won't ever be attacked, but what it does mean is that we have a strong defense so that if we are ever attacked in our faith, we are able to stand firm. This is why the second part of our mission here at First Baptist Church Stockdale is to grow. We want to grow in God's word and we want to grow in our relationship with the Lord because we don't want to be weak in our faith. We don't want to be soft and apathetic. Apathy is opportunity for attack. Now, this is kind of a side note, but here at First Baptist Church Stockdale, we have a team of people on watch every week because we desire to be on watch. We desire to ensure our safety here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. We have a safety team. In the coming days, we're going to be having another safety team meeting. And if you have a like-minded desire to ensure our safety, then you would be invited to come to this meeting so that we can be on watch, not just spiritually, but also physically on watch, because we know that apathy is opportunity for attack. So the city of Sardis, they were apathetic, and unfortunately, what we see is that this attitude of apathy had begun to bleed into the church in Sardis. So with that in mind, let's read Revelation 3, 1 through 6. It says, "Write to the angel of the church in Sardis, thus says the one who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works. You have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Be alert and strengthen what remains, which is about to die, for I have not found your works to be your works complete before my God. Remember then what you have received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you are not alert, I will come like a thief, and you have no idea at what hour I will come upon you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not defiled their clothes, and they will walk with me in white because they are worthy. In the same way, the one who conquers will be dressed in white clothes, and I will never erase his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and before his angels. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches." So as we look at this passage, I want to begin by highlighting the descriptors that we see Jesus use of himself in verse 1. Jesus says, "Write to the angel of the church in Sardis, thus says the one who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars." Now, as we look at these descriptors, it's important to remember that much of the words, the imagery that we see in the book of Revelation is symbolic. And so we are not to read this and understand that God has seven spirits, just as we are not to understand that he has seven stars. Rather, specifically in the culture at this time, there was this understanding that the number seven meant completeness or fullness. And so what the readers at that time would have understood, and what we are to understand from this passage today, is that in Jesus, we find the fullness of God. Yes, Jesus was fully man when he came into this world, but he was also fully God. He was, he is, he always will be fully God. In Jesus, we find the fullness of God. Now, not only are we to understand that in Jesus we find the fullness of God, but also in Jesus there is nothing lacking. Jesus is complete in every possible way, and when we come to know him as Lord, we find that he makes us complete as well. Listen, it is not your job that makes you complete. It is not that sport that makes you complete. It is not your bank account that makes you complete. It is not that relationship that makes you complete. It is not your children that make you complete. It is not your spouse even that makes you complete. All of those are great things. But if we are looking to the things of this world to make us complete, then what we will find is we are still lacking. But if we will look to Jesus to truly fulfill us, then we will find that not only are we fulfilled, but He is the one that makes us complete. In Jesus, there is nothing lacking. Now, if you remember, we see the seven stars mentioned in Revelation 1:20. Jesus tells us that the seven stars are the seven angels or the seven messengers that these letters have been addressed to. And as we think about these seven messengers receiving these letters from the Lord, these were not letters that they were to keep to themselves. Rather, they were to share these letters with their churches as well. And so to address the pastor of the church, the messenger, the angel, to address the letter to the messenger was to address the whole church. And so what Jesus is saying here, as he gives these descriptors about himself, is that he has the fullness of God or the fullness of his Spirit to give to all the churches or to give to the fullness of the churches. Now, why is this important? Because to be without the Spirit is to be without life. To be without the Spirit is to be without life. And I don't necessarily mean just the Holy Spirit. I mean just in the physical sense. To be without the Spirit is to be without life. We see this in Matthew 27:50 as Jesus is hanging on the cross. Scripture tells us, but Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. And when he gave up his spirit, this is when his body on this earth died. To be without the Spirit is to be without life. And so for a church to be a living church, it is necessary for the Spirit of God to be present. Because it's God's Spirit that gives a church life. And so Jesus gives us a reminder that it is He who is able to give the fullness of God's Spirit to the fullness of the churches. Now, as we continue walking through this passage, this becomes more significant because what we just read is that there was a lack of life in the church in Sardis. And so we're going to see two things that Jesus has for the church in Sardis that we're going to look at this morning. First, Jesus described a harsh reality. Jesus described a harsh reality. Let's look at verse 1 again. It says, I know your works. You have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Jesus described a harsh reality. So if you remember the 1999 movie, The Sixth Sense, in that movie, the little boy, he delivers a well-known line, I see dead people. Right? And he goes on to say that these dead people, they are continuing on as if they are still alive because they don't know that they're dead. They think that they're still alive. As we look at the church in Sardis, it's not just that they thought that they were alive. Rather, everyone thought that they were alive. They had a reputation for life. It's possible that their doors were open all the time. They were constantly planning events and programs. There was a lot of movement within the church. They had a lot of good people within the church. But even with everything going on, even with all of these good people, even though they had this reputation for being alive, Jesus said, you're really dead. Now, if you remember a couple of weeks ago as we looked at the church in Pergamum, they had some that were there, some that were in their midst who were truly unrepentant, who truly had not yet given their lives to Christ, and yet they were operating as full-fledged members of the church. As we look at the church in Sardis, it would seem that there's only some that have truly come to know Christ, only some who were truly repentant, and the rest of them were still unbelievers. The rest of them were still living in their sins. They had not come to know the Lord. Instead, they were trusting in the good things that they were doing. They were trusting in their church attendance. They were trusting in how they were able to volunteer in things. They were trusting in all of their own works to clean them and to save them. But Jesus says, these things may make you look like you're alive, but you are still dead. So let me pause right here and say this. It doesn't matter how others see us. It only matters how God sees us. And I want you to understand, apart from truly knowing Jesus Christ as Lord, God sees us dead in our sins, our clothes defiled, and no amount of good works, no amount of church attendance, no amount of money that you put in the offering plate, no amount of service that you give, nothing that you can do is enough to save you. Nothing that you can do is enough to make you alive. Why? Because those works are not found complete before the Lord. But when Jesus went to the cross, his work was complete. And so when we come to know him as Lord, when we are found in him, it is then and only then that God no longer sees us as dead in our sins, but he begins to see us as alive in Christ. Good works may make us look alive to others, but apart from Jesus, God still sees us as dead. And it is what God sees and what God sees alone that matters for our eternity. It doesn't matter how others see us, it only matters how God sees us. So let me pause right here and just ask, how does God see you today? When God looks at you, how does God see you today? Look, you may be a great person. You may have the best personality. You may serve faithfully. Maybe you've even attended this church for years and you've sat in the same spot on the same pew every Sunday. But listen, if you've never truly given your life to Christ, even if you have a reputation for life among men, God still sees you as dead. So how does God see you today? And my prayer is that for every single one of us in this place, for every single one of you here today, that you would truly know Jesus as Lord, that God would see you as alive. The church in Sardis, they had a reputation for being alive, but truly they were dead. And so Jesus shared this harsh reality with them. But thankfully, Jesus didn't end it with this harsh reality. So second, we see Jesus detailed a necessary response. And really, Jesus detailed two ways they needed to respond. First, he said to them in verse 2, be alert. Remember, the problem in Sardis, the city of Sardis, was that there was apathy. And because of their apathy, they'd become comfortable and complacent. And because of their complacency, they were conquered. And so as Jesus says to the church here in Sardis, be alert. What he is saying is, wake up. Don't be satisfied with a reputation for being alive, and in the end, be conquered by your sins. Instead, wake up to your sins. Wake up to the fact that you have never been saved. Wake up that you might turn from your sins, turning to Jesus, that he would make you alive, that you might experience true salvation. And so if you're here today and you would say that you've never truly trusted in Jesus as your Lord, then I would say these two words to you today. Wake up. Wake up to your sin. Wake up to the reality that you are separated from God. Wake up that you might experience true salvation. And then in verse 3, Jesus says that he's going to come like a thief comes. Here's the reality. We don't know when we're going to stand before Jesus, whether by death or whether by his return. But the reality is, one day every single one of us is going to stand before Jesus. One day every single one of us is going to stand before the judgment seat of God. And we are either going to stand before God dead in our sins, or we're going to stand before God alive in Christ. God's not going to say when you stand before him, well, you were a good person. He's not going to say, well, I saw how you went to First Baptist Church Stockdale week in and week out and you made that pew warm. God's not going to say, I saw all the ministries that you served in. I saw how much money you put in that offering plate. Good job. God's not going to say any of that. He's either going to see you alive in Christ because you have turned to Jesus as your Savior and Lord, or he's going to see you dead in your sins. And so I would say it again, wake up. Don't be satisfied with a reputation of life. be made truly alive in Christ today. So Jesus said they needed to be alert, they needed to wake up, that they might be made alive, and he tells them how to do this in verse 3. He says, "Remember then what you have received and heard, keep it and repent." Well, what had they received and heard? They had received and heard the gospel, that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, that he was buried in the tomb for 3 days, that 3 days later, the stone was rolled away, and he walked out victorious. And if any one of them would call upon the name of Jesus to be saved, they would be. That he would be their Lord, that they would receive salvation. They had received the gospel. They had heard the gospel preached, but they had never responded to the gospel. And so Jesus says, "Remember then what you have received and heard. Keep it and repent." Remember the gospel that you've heard. Turn from your sins. Come to know Jesus as Lord. And so if you're here today, I want you to know you have received the gospel. The same gospel message that they received all those years ago, you have received the gospel. And so the question is, what are you going to do with the gospel? Are you going to receive it and repent, or are you going to reject it in your apathy? You know, this letter to the church in Sardis, it was a call for them to look and to take notice, that they might wake up, that they might be saved. It's a call for us to look and to take notice as well. And if you're here and you've never trusted in Jesus as your Lord, then it is an invitation for you this morning. Jesus said, "In the same way, the one who conquers will be dressed in white clothes, and I will never erase his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and before his angels. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches." You see, when you come to know Jesus as Lord, he cleanses you of all unrighteousness, and he secures your salvation for all eternity. We cannot do that on our own. Church attendance cannot do that for us. Good works, service, giving, none of that can do that for us. It is only Jesus who can cleanse us and secure our salvation for all eternity. If you have never trusted in Jesus to be your Lord, if today you would say, "You know what, maybe I look alive, but truly I'm dead," then I want to give you an opportunity to respond to Jesus this morning. And so in just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing, this is going to be an opportunity for you to respond this morning. And if you're here today and you would say, "You know what, that's the truth about me. Maybe I do a lot of good things. People would think that I am a Christian because of the good things that I do, but I know in my heart of hearts that I have never trusted in Jesus to be my Lord. I've never repented of my sins. I've never submitted to his lordship, but today I'm ready to do that." If that's you, then I'm going to invite you to respond this morning. I'm going to be standing down front. I'm going to do something a little different today too. I'm going to have Palmer stand up here with me, because we have all of these youth that went to camp. And so there may be a youth that needs to respond this morning. And so I'm going to be standing here. Palmer's going to be standing here. If you need to give your life to Christ this morning, you can come grab one of us and talk to us. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, "I've given my life to Christ already, but I've never taken that next step of baptism like Ainsley did this morning." If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. Let's talk, let's pray, let's make that commitment for baptism today. We have another baptism scheduled next week. We'd love to get yours on the schedule as well. Now maybe you're here and you would say, "You know what, I've given my life to Christ. I've been baptized by immersion already. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. I know that God's calling me to make this my church home, to connect my life with this body of believers." If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. Whatever it is that God's calling you to do in these final moments, I would encourage you to respond obediently. Stand with me right now and let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.